Live from the front yard inside Ellis Island Casino, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
We got big news coming in. I want to process it first before we say something stupid on the air. Not getting on anyone in particular. So this Mountain West stuff is moving quick. I want more confirmation on this. But supposedly there was a deadline today. Mm-hmm. From the Mountain West for its remaining members to commit. There's been news today that Air Force has committed. There was recent news from ESPN reporter, or an ESPN reporter, that Utah State is ready to bail for the Pac-12. And Pete Thamel is claiming that UNLV has agreed to commit to the Mountain West for future membership. You want to react or you want to wait?
He also replied to that San Jose State will do the same and follow suit tonight.
Do the same as?
UNLV.
Okay.
He replied to that tweet.
Interesting.
So. Very interesting.
Well, they're two very different situations, I think.
Absolutely.
Why do you think? San Jose and UNLV.
Well, the markets, first of all. I mean, we're talking about Las Vegas. It's no offense to San Jose, but the explosion in Las Vegas as a whole with sports being here.
I think San Jose is bigger. On its
market?
Own. Yeah.
Sports market or population?
We'll look it up. Well, sports market, obviously they don't have the NFL there. I mean, they kind of do, even though it's not included in their market. Niners?
Yeah, but I mean.
I think they're different because I think Vegas has a shot, and I was telling people over the weekend, I still believe UNLV believes that the Big 12 is open to the idea.
Of UNLV?
Yes. I haven't seen San Jose involved in any of those rumors or discussions.
I think Big 12 and Pac-12 is open to involving UNLV. And now let me ask you this. I want to throw this out there at you. With all this talk that's been going on the last month or so, would UNLV be in as many conversations as that we've had, the morning guys have had, the national media, whoever, the college report, the big college boys, would UNLV be as much of a conversation as it is right now if that football team would not be doing as good as it's if it was 1-2, 0-3, if it was same old with UNLV right now?
I don't know. I can't answer things anymore because I think the fact that UNLV is involved in higher level discussions probably does have something to do with a season and a quarter of success. But before I laugh at that or say that is absurd, Tulane is coveted. And I bring up Tulane all the time because Tulane sucked at football until the last 5 years. 71-93 over the last 10 years. And I suppose the New Orleans market mean something. I don't really think Tulane has a giant place in the New Orleans market, but it's got a place there. These are very weird times, and when I saw the San Diego State president last week, and we're going to push off the Big Four. We'll get to some of the stories here, but no need for a sounder. When I retweeted a video from the San Diego State president who talked about, well, actually, the guy from the San Diego Tribune, Union Tribune, asked her directly, are you surprised UNLV wasn't invited? And she said, no, I'm not surprised. They used metrics, and I'm happy with the four schools that got the initial invites. Well, one of the schools, her school. And then I asked people, I'm like, hey, what are the metrics? And then people sent it to me like, hey, dummy, here it is. I'm like, really? It was this bland statement about a myriad of angles, but I don't know that those are the most important things. I don't know if TV market matters. I don't know if upward mobility matters. How much is, you know, what have you done for me lately? Right now, I mean, honestly, right now, congrats on the new stadium, and I'm not giving up on Sean Lewis. The San Diego State program doesn't look like it's moving forward. First, he's got to stabilize the thing and then move it forward. Traditionally, they've been a good program. But right now, this is appropriately the Wild Wild West. I mean, if this thing gets splintered the way it looks like it's going to get splintered, if Utah State is going to the Pac-12 and then a bunch of Mountain West schools are recommitting to the Mountain West, this is pretty wild. Right? You figured there's going to be some sort of merger. There'll be some schools left over from the Mountain West. There'll be like four schools left over, and then good luck. You got to find somewhere else.
Well, if everybody's jumping ship from the Mountain West, they're going to have to go fishing, right?
Mountain West?
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, places like Sacramento State want to make a jump up to Division I. There are FCS schools that are awesome. The Dakotas.
They're going to have to play
They have a three-year window. And now the college football overlords basically sent a message to FCS, we don't want you. They did that with a policy change where in the past, I think it was $500,000 to move up. Now it's $5 million. And then there's the other side of this. If the Mountain West, whoever is left, and then they're like, oh, we'll get some of the Dakotas and, you know, Montanas. Right. And then those schools could be like, no. We don't want to spend the money to go up, and we're in great shape here at FCS. We love it.
They're the Alabamas and Georgias of FCS. Why would they want to, you know, leave? You know, would the schools that are in, I don't know what they're classified, FBS, but Division II, Division III, the Southern Oregons of the world, right? Because they're sort of in no man's land, but they could. I mean, there's, like you said, there's so many different options, but it's really the Pac-12 and the Big 12 and what these schools want to do. I think the Mountain West. I think that's why they're putting that deadline, obviously, because we need to know if you're jumping ship, so we know what we're doing, because they gotta get their ducks in a row. But if UNLV is offered, if UNLV was offered, regardless. If they're just going, if they're coming right out and saying we're staying, I think it's a huge statement for the fact that it's being talked. Because the last time all this came, before all the realignment, before the jump ship of USC, UCLA, Stanford, Cal, Washington, all of them, right? UNLV was never even discussed, and everyone was up in arms. Why isn't UNLV in the conversation? Now that they're in the conversation, and they're saying no, we're going to stay. If that's the case, I think it's kind of big. I don't know if it's a good move, but.
I'll ask you a couple questions here. Would it be a hoot if the Pac-12 reached out to Nevada and they're like, come over? And the folks who are listening right now in Northern Nevada and Reno and Sparks, and Nevada was like, yeah, we'll go.
Without UNLV.
Yes.
After last week's right. comment about we're not going without, yeah. That would be hilarious.
Okay. Second question. If UNLV has to, well, I'll do this first.
Okay.
I've seen the tweets, reaction. And again, we're seeing one report that says UNLV is going to stick with the Mountain West Conference instead of going to the Pac-12.
Okay.
I've seen tweets, well, UNLV is cheap. What does that mean?
Well, I think what they're trying to say is they don't want to pony up to join or to leave. Isn't there an exit
yes.
fee also?
Yeah. At least $18 million. What if I came over the top and said, as a taxpayer in Las Vegas, Clark County, and the state of Nevada, I don't know that I would support that sort of exit fee and other fees to move on to a conference that hasn't offered any concrete plan? They can't. Right? So as a taxpayer, because I'm consistent on this.
Okay.
I'm consistent on this, right? I think it's wrong to spend all this money on the A's. One. Main reason is I want Major League Baseball here. I think there could be an acceptable public contribution, but I think what the deal they got is not great. I think they should have gotten a better deal. Frankly, the people who voted in the last minutes of their session, assembly people and senators on the state level, I wish they had done their research, asked more questions, but I didn't like that deal, so I'm going to be consistent here. And I cover UNLV. But I'm going to be consistent here. If it's not a good deal for the state, now maybe someone could put all the numbers in front of me and go, you know what? The next 10 years, this is a good deal. This benefits the state. Okay, then go ahead and spend the $18 million plus on the exit fee. I'm not sure I support it.
Well, that's obvious. I mean, if it's not a good deal, that you can say that in any business, right? If it's not a good deal,
Willie, but I don't hear people considering that angle. Just like
they're just automatically automatically going
to
jump.
You have to go to the brand. You got to go to the Pac-12. We're going to be left behind. Do you want to know the numbers? Do you care about the numbers? Do you care as a taxpayer? I've also had answers from people who are like, that is a good investment.
You want to see the numbers? Yeah. I get it.
I'll say it a million times over. I would love to take a lot of the money from the folks I'll point down towards the convention center. I would like to take a lot of the influencer money they're using on that front.
You've said that before.
UNLV?
LVCVA.
They got the money.
Yeah. Well, the LVCVA is putting a lot of money in a lot of things. Are they putting it toward UNLV now that they can legally? Right? I mean, we know the influence that some of the big power brokers in town have had since the late 70s, early 80s. Now it's legal with NIL. So, yes, a lot of the money the LVCVA is forking out, F1, Super Bowl, the Aces, right, could definitely go toward striking deals. I mean, I kind of think, I don't know, I could be dead wrong here, but the LVCVA, I think they look at it like, hey, you're kind of on your own, but we've already struck a deal with all the conferences. You want to bring the national championship here? Cool. You want to bring Big 12 Media Day here? Cool. You want to bring the Pac-12 championship here? Cool. Mountain West, all the college basketball tournaments, the Big West in March, come on in. So they're already in bed with the conferences. I don't think that they care one way or the other, to be quite honest with you. They're not worried about it is what I'm saying. They're not that worried about it. And we've moved on from being just a college town. So that's another thing that's in their head. It's like we've got bigger things on our plate, which is sad to say because this could be an even better and even more special town than it's become if UNLV was built into a national powerhouse, Barry Odom busting his ass as a coach to build this program to what it's at now, Kevin Kruger doing his best, knowing the rich history because of his father and playing here, UNLV has a chance. Lindy LaRock has certainly done it with women's basketball and then all the Olympic sports. So the fact of the matter is, there should be investors out there helping to make these decisions, and if they want to leave and go and help exit fee, whatever needs to be done. But, yes, you're right. In a sense, they need to be seeing the numbers and make a good deal for everybody.
The best source on this, not national but local, Adam Hill writes, as of 4:06, UNLV has decided to remain in the Mountain West after a brief flirtation with the rebuilding Pac-12. Multiple sources confirmed today. Air Force expected to make a similar commitment to the conference after it was pursued by the AAC. Developing story, Mountain West getting picked at, not completely picked apart. This is developing. As I said, it's pretty crazy. Wild day, conference chaos continues.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from the front yard inside Ellis Island on ESPN, Las Vegas, and ESPN, Reno.
Crazy day today with conference chaos, another one of these days, but it hits closer to home with UNLV being tugged in a bunch of different ways, and according to Adam Hill, Cofield and Company's Adam Hill, RJ's Adam Hill, he says UNLV is staying with the Mountain West Conference. We'll find out what the incentives are that the Mountain West has been throwing at schools to not bail to the Pac-12. Willie Cofield, big weekend. Big weekend to get into. We'll get to some Aces in a little bit, but we are starting up with VGK. Another season on the way. Willie, I know you were out at training camp, and Danny Webster was there, and then there was a exhibition game over the weekend. Danny is in. What's up, Danny?
What's going on, guys? How we doing?
Danny, you and I spent three long days at City National Arena watching the Golden Knights, three-a-days. Just your initial takeaway, if there was one big one, or you know, just something you took away from those 3 days that stood out to you?
The thing that I took away is 3 days kind of suck, but that's neither here nor there. You know what? I think when you look at it from the overall standpoint, it was a few days of just getting to learn the systems, getting a chance to teach, getting a chance to see the young guys that we probably won't be seeing on the Golden Knights roster right away, to get a chance to see what they can do going forward. And then it kind of transitioned into the game on Sunday in San Jose, and we saw a lot of the young guys, a lot of the AHL guys get a chance to show where they're at right now in their development. So I think right now, a little bit too early to say as far as who stood out, as far as who is going to be battling for those camp battles, those open roster spots that are what we've been talking about for the last couple of months. But I feel like now that the first wave of cuts came earlier today with six players getting sent down to their respective clubs, we should be seeing that rev up in a little bit, especially with the first home preseason game on Wednesday.
Okay, so Danny, one of the things that stood out in one of Bruce Cassidy's press conferences, I kind of liked, I'd never really heard this take before, but someone was asking him about, you know, as media members, we tinker around with the lines and what do we think about this, and he joked, he goes, what'd you guys come up with? But he had said that his way of finding the lines is not necessarily finding the best three. He finds the best two. He starts with two for chemistry and then works the third in. So he already knows which two, a center and a wing, are going to work best. I actually like that. What did you take from that?
I like that too. And I think when you're having a situation that Bruce is going into this year where you're losing a bunch of forwards that were very instrumental in winning a Stanley Cup a couple of years ago, and now you have this big turnover, you got to try and start somewhere, and you got to start somewhere small. And you look at it from the standpoint of like the top line with Jack Eichel. He's played now with Ivan Barbashev. You now add in a Victor Olofsson, who Jack has had familiarity with in Buffalo, so that kind of fits. Yeah, Carlson, he's had some run with Pavel Dorofeev, as has Mark Stone, so that kind of works together. But now you think of the idea of putting Carlson and Stone together, and that becomes enticing. Third line, a little bit of a mosh-posh right near, because we're trying to figure out where Tomas Hertl fits into this whole line, and they're starting with Nick Waugh and Alex Holtz, two guys that I think he can complement their games a little bit interestingly. Waugh not being at center is going to be a very interesting concept early on. And then the fourth line with Brett Howden and Keegan Kolsar, I think that's a good place to start because they have familiarity and you're trying to find out which guy will take William Carrier's spot, and Tanner Pearson is first up in that line with the PTO. So I do like that. I think it gives Bruce a little bit of an easier start trying to figure out what works and what won't. And then when you can figure out which two work best, you can kind of find the complementary pieces to see which unlocks the whole potential of that line. So I think it's a really good thing that he's doing there.
Once again, speaking with Danny Webster, beat writer for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, Golden Knights, also been on the Aces beat. We'll touch them in just a minute. You were at game one of the WNBA opening round playoff last night against Seattle. Aiden Hill, Ilya Samsonov, we got to speak to them, I believe, on the third day. You know, if Aiden Hill, and we don't want to wish this upon anybody, but he's yet to play a full season, but if the injury-prone Aiden Hill were to go down, I have a good feeling about it. I think this is a good spot where Samsonov might sort of rejuvenate his career a little bit, and coming out of a locker room that's always had that vibe, that good chemistry, I kind of have a good feeling about this, you know, because it's one of those, it seems like one of those situations, like you don't know what you're going to get, but at any given time, a goalie can get hot.
Yeah, absolutely. I think when you're looking at it from that standpoint, it's going to be a very big year for both of those guys, because they're both on, Aiden Hill's on the last year of his contract, Ilya Samsonov's on the last year, going on a one-year deal coming in here. So a big year for both of them as far as prove it, what can you do going into next offseason. I really do like Samsonov. I do think there are questions obviously, with the way that he played in Toronto last year, he had the worst year of his career statistically. He talked about how that was really tough on him mentally, how that was really just trying to overcome the mental aspect when he was sent down to the AHL, and just how he had to battle back. And he did, to his credit, in the final couple months of the regular season, played really well to bounce back and put together a very respectable campaign. So I do think that there's a prove it side to it, and I also think that there is something to like about Samsonov coming in with a chip on his shoulder, a veteran who's won games, who's been to the playoffs, who's won playoff games, who has the ability to, when his number is called, to be that number one guy if Aiden Hill does go down. And obviously with Aiden, since it is a big year for him, you don't want to wish that on him, but if it does happen, the Golden Knights are pretty hopeful that with the system they have in place with Sean Burke and Bruce Cassidy's defensive structure, that Samsonov can pick up the slack when his number is called.
All right, so let's move on to the Las Vegas Aces. I know the Golden Knights did win in San Jose 4-2 last night. You had mentioned, you know, we started to see it, but I think we'll see a lot more as they play more preseason games. The Aces, though, they struggle early on. Seattle puts it to them, and then Asia Wilson puts her foot down a little bit. And fourth quarter runaway, and we see the Aces pull away for an 11-point win to take a 1-0 series lead against Seattle.
Yeah, that was it was a very interesting game, to say the least, from the standpoint of no matter what, when it seemed like the Aces were trying to establish momentum, when they were trying to get back in the game, Seattle always had a counterpunch. It was like the Aces would go up by four, then the Storm would answer back with an 8-0 run. And then the Aces would come back, and the Storm would just hit shot after shot after shot. And then the fourth quarter happens, and, you know, you start to get 3 minutes in, 4 minutes in, and the Storm haven't made a basket. And you go 5 minutes in, 6 minutes in, and then they finally get to the free throw line, and they make it, and they still haven't made a shot. The Aces held them to 2 points in the fourth quarter. The Storm shot 0-for-12 from the field. And ever since Becky Hammon arrived in Las Vegas, their calling card has always been using their defense and turning into offense. And even though they only scored 14 points in the fourth quarter, that was all they needed, because if they can play well out of their defense and get going in transition, then you're going to have Asia Wilson erupt for 15 points like she did in the third quarter. You're going to see Tiffany Hayes, who, you know, was pulled off the beach and has become, you know, a leading candidate for sixth player of the year. She goes for 20 last night. Alicia Clark gives them great minutes off the bench last night. And when you're not having Kelsey Plum, you know, make shots, Chelsea Gray is kind of, you know, finding her rhythm. You start to see the identity of what the Aces are trying to do here, and it starts to build confidence that even though they're going to have a tough road if they want to complete this three-peat, this is the roster that's very capable of doing it, and it's a team that has a very good chance of doing it if they can find that cohesiveness that they found in the last 2 years. In game one, even though it got off to a rocky start, it was a strong finish for them to put that right foot forward.
Danny Webster from the Las Vegas Review-Journal, beat writer with the Golden Knights, and he is covering the Las Vegas Aces while Callie is away getting married. So you were at the game last night. Did you make it in time for Aces MVP presser?
I did not, no.
Okay. You've been out a couple of times because Callie's been on the beat. You've been out a couple times this year. She made a comment in the press conference that said, "It was really back in February I put that fourth place vote behind me and really focused on this season." Now, I don't know about how many clips you've seen and how many times you've been there or you've heard it or seen it, but I've been there enough this year where that fourth place vote has come up several times from her and Becky during the regular season. It was not put behind her. They said that it was the motivation. We got about 45 seconds, Danny. First of all, have you heard them reference that, and how much do you think that motivated her this season?
So funny thing is, I was the one that actually texted in that question, and I felt bad that I didn't mention that, because she kind of went on that, you know. I'm not surprised they used it as motivation. I felt like ever since last year, she was going to go ahead and use that as motivation to win the second title, and she was going to use it as motivation this year. And it turned out to be one of the greatest individual regular seasons that we've ever seen. And you know what? I think it's a good thing that they got the MVP out of the way now, because now that she can solely focus on trying to win a third straight championship. So not surprised in the least, not surprised that she used that as fuel, and I wouldn't be surprised if she just put into that a little bit more just to try and go for this three-peat.
Danny, well, you're going to have to fuel up and find some motivation, and so am I, because we've got a long season ahead of us. I'll look forward to seeing you. I'm debating Wednesday night, but if not, I'm sure I'll catch up with you this week. Thanks for joining us.
All right, brother. Talk to you later.
There he is, Danny Webster from the RJ. Get on down here. First game's kicking off, two Monday Night Football games tonight. Here is the front yard, Ellis Island, and now begins the all-you-can-drink beer and all-you-can-drink, check that, all-you-can-eat specials. Two games for Monday Night Football, front yard.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from the front yard inside Ellis Island on ESPN, Las Vegas, and ESPN, Reno.
So, first Monday Night Football game of the evening, Bills and Jaguars, scoreless early on. You got the Commies trying to pull off the upset against the Bengals. By the way, the Bengals are heavily leaned upon again in Survivor contest. So we'll get you an update on what's going on in one of the big Survivor contests here in town. Willie Cofield, halfway mark of the show. Breaking news out. Las Vegas Review-Journal and Adam Hill from Cofield & Company confirming that UNLV will not leave the Mountain West Conference. Apparently a lucrative package put together by the Mountain West Conference to woo Air Force and UNLV to recommit. It looks like Utah State may say, nah, and San Jose State apparently has recommitted. So with all the exits and what the Pac-12 has right now, there actually is a race for other schools to join both conferences. Kind of crazy.
Are you disappointed?
No, not at all.
You glad UNLV stayed in the Mountain West?
I think it makes financial sense, and I also think, I trust management at UNLV, and they believe that the Big 12 invite is on the way, or at least they hope for it. But I actually think they believe it.
UNLV?
Yes.
Okay, but if that's the case, but they're asking for a commitment. When you're asking for a commitment, they're not just asking for a commitment in regards to the Pac-12 wanting teams.
Right.
So
I'd have to. I mean, I don't know what the terms are of the new agreement.
Right, so if they're committing, they could. Big 12 can come knocking all they want, but once they've committed, it just depends on how long they commit for.
Big game coming up at the Al on Saturday. Good vibes over today at UNLV. By the way, basketball started practicing, men's basketball.
Yep.
So
saw that.
I've been going fast today, so I'm not even sure if I posted the Kevin Kruger video that I'll have to double check.
Slacking.
Well, can I tell you what happens a lot of times with Musk's site, Elon's site, is I find out like 6 hours later my stuff didn't post. Because, you know, you're going fast all day, and I'm like, oh, good, that didn't post. So I'll have to double check that. But a lot of interesting comments from Kevin Kruger. He even talked about the football program. But on the football side, they're very aware, and especially the veterans are aware, and Tiger Shank said it. He's been here forever. Cam Oliver, too. They were available today. They're like, we know we haven't beat Fresno State. Well, we've been here. And the last three games, I think, were decided by 7, 8, and 7 points. And last year, there were multiple interceptions in the third quarter. It's funny, last year's game at Fresno with UNLV and Fresno, I remember standing in the end zone, and UNLV closed out the first half strong, and Barry Odom was like all fired up, right? And I think he started to run up the tunnel. I'm like, oh, hold on. Because it's a steep climb at Fresno. And I remember the good vibes going into the half, and then they came out in the third, and Jade Maiava just kind of fell apart, threw a couple interceptions. That turned the tide. Then they also had a chance to tie the game at the end, and Seneca McKee dropped the touchdown pass, like just wide-open touchdown pass. But they remember. They remember. And I didn't want to – you never want to be part of the story. I did find it interesting when I was talking to Fresno State players. Malik Sherrod was there. I forget the defensive player. But they both kind of chuckled at how they won the game last year. So players remember that stuff.
Oh, it's, you know, and I sent it over sort of rhetorical, snarky. They're UNLV, I don't care how good they've started. I know that they moved up to 23 in the Coaches Poll. But I said, how do the Rebels focus on Fresno State and not look ahead to Syracuse? They're not looking past anybody. And there's motivation for as bad as this program has been for decades with a random successful season in here and there. They have no reason to look past any school in the conference.
Their formula needs to be the same as it's been with different personnel the last 3 years, which is annihilate Fresno on the ground. And believe it or not, as good as Fresno is, and many years they're good defensively, they have not been able to stop the Rebels' run game. Last 3 years, Rebels have averaged 177 on the ground against the Bulldogs.
It's Cofield and Company's Eye on Sports Betting. Only on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Eye on Sports Gambling is presented by Oasis Bar and Grill. Willie Cofield will set up on the big stage here at the Front Yard, Ellis Island. So many cool things going on. 3 to 6, you got the $7 bites and $7 drink special. Do you have that thin card? Where's that thin card?
I do have the thin card.
Take a look at that. Let me take a look at that. You just asked me, you're like, what do I stay away from? I'm like, nothing. Everything's good. $7 drinks. I think I'm in need of another one of those jalapeno pineapple margaritas. I need to take the edge off.
You did take that down, and you did come into the show fired up.
And well, because I knew when you're on the air, and there's news breaking, it's a little hard to follow.
You're everywhere. You're scattered, and you got everything going.
So
you got
again,
two laptops, your cameras, your this.
Yeah, the latest news is UNLV staying in the Mountain West Conference. Utah State looks like it's leaving the Mountain West Conference. The Air Force is staying in the Mountain West Conference. There's a lot going on. And obviously, I think they're waiting on other commitments. I don't know if this incentive package was offered to everyone.
I'm sure we're going to hear throughout the night and in the morning. I mean, it's what we're with. I think that's the biggest thing that we're all waiting for, right, is to hear what kept them in the Mountain West. Utah State obviously isn't buying into it and is ready to go. They think they can hang. Maybe they can, maybe they can't. But the core of the Mountain West are saying, you know, UNLV and Air Force is the flagship schools. Them deciding to stay is huge.
Disastrous day on Sunday for folks in Survivor Contest. Again, heavy favorites fall. Browns and Buccaneers took out another 1,660 in Circus Contest. People are all over the Bengals because they were 7.5. That could take out another 1,000. This thing started with just under 15,000 people paying $1,000 a piece to get in, Willie. And right now we're sitting at about 78% of the field. Gonzo. It's hard.
Look at the top four.
This week? Bengals, Browns, Bucks, Raiders. Yep.
I mean, the Raiders,
I mean, and like, because like this is big week numbers on the being the top four.
Right.
Because after that, the Jets got about 11% of the picks. And beyond that, the most numbers were like 78, 50, 14.
Right. And this is a week where, I mean, the ones that got taken out, those are sort of the teams in a survivor where this is a good week to get them out of the way and I don't have to pick the power teams in the NFL.
I got the Browns by nearly a touchdown against the Giants.
Raiders, Panthers,
Bucks feeling good about themselves at home, can't get it done, and get kind of blown away by Bo Nix and the Broncos.
Yeah, I didn't see that coming.
Okay, Circa Million. This is kind of amazing. I didn't realize how poorly this was going. Top five most selected teams in the Circa Million, you know, picking five against the spread weekly, are now 4-11. And that's after a 3-2 week. Mm. Yeah. Most selected, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Philly. Losses on Tennessee and Atlanta in our set of five, group of five. We did have Baltimore. Griffin, hop on the mic.
Yo.
Now, we went 5-0. Now, a lot of this is luck because I was considering Dallas plus the points, and then Griffin came in with Baltimore minus, so I'm like, all right, it's his pick. Nice job.
Yeah, I told you. Don't count me out after that first week bad pick I had. Don't count me out.
Okay. Philly plus three against the Saints. That was an Alex pick. Willie, you had the Seahawks. Minus 4.5.
Big win.
Easy. Those are the best, too.
Never in doubt.
It was never in doubt. Superpower Gino against the not-so-superpower Skylar Thompson. Who knows what the Dolphins are going to be doing here the next 3, 4, 5 weeks at quarterback. They're not good without Tua. They're 1-5 now over a couple of years without Tua.
They may or may not trade for Gardner Minshew.
Okay. I was like, wait.
Just threw that out there.
Yeah. Well, they got Tyler Huntley. And when
for
he's
no
ready to,
reason.
They got Tyler Huntley from the Ravens and Browns. When he's ready to go, then I would assume he's getting the job. Am I correct?
Waiting in the wings.
Yeah, so winners also included the Vikings plus 2 against the Texans. So overall, Vikings, Eagles, Seahawks, Ravens, Rams plus 7. I had Rams plus 7. So there you go.
Now outside
5-0, and we're 11-4 overall.
Is that what we're?
Yeah.
We winning? And I got two of those losses.
Now we could easily go 0-5 this week. Because like I said, I had interest in a bunch of losers that I didn't pick. I happened to pick the right one of all my leans and likes. So
has anyone else lost twice?
I'd have to look it up. I don't know.
I'm the only one. I've half the losses.
I mean, technically I'm 4-0 because I had to pick two games one week, week one.
The three most
I'm not going to brag about that or anything.
The three most bet teams this week, according to a story at the Associated Press, three most bet teams in terms of money to cover the spread on Sunday in the NFL were Buccaneers, loser. Saints, loser. Titans, loser. All three lose straight up. I did like the Bucs. I did love, absolutely loved the Packers.
That's a good one.
They were. I went, if you were to say what were your top plays, I sent you Seattle for us. Then I had the Packers, but I did like the Buccaneers. I thought that they were good. I went 4-2 in terms of the games that I liked. And I loved one total, which hit Chargers, Steelers, under.
He's already got a lot of feathers in his cap, but Matt LaFleur, what he's done with Malik Willis, pretty impressive. Well, and their defense was freaking awesome in that game.
Absolutely. And by the way, kudos to Adam Hill. He, I can't remember where we – oh, we were at the Raiders facility Wednesday, and he gave me a fantasy tip. I told him I'd be bugging him all season. He said, switch your defense out. Do it weekly. And he said, go get the Packers defense. He goes, I switch mine out every single week. Get the Packers this week.
Try to find the best matchup, yep.
And so I hit that. But I also, Malik Willis, revenge tour. So I thought that he would have a little chip on his shoulder, and he did.
Games tonight, Bills went off 4, and 46.5 was the total. Against the Jags, 6-0. About 8 minutes left in the first quarter. The game coming up, kicking off in the 5 o'clock hour, down here at the front yard, Ellis Island. Bengals sitting solidly at -7.5. The total's 46. Looks like 74% of the cash is on the Bengals, 80% of the tickets.
You want
some look at? Oh, I wouldn't lay 7.5.
I would take the dog. I think the rookie might have a nice game tonight.
I wouldn't like to be sitting here right now with the Bengals and Survivor. That doesn't make me feel comfy. All right, look ahead to Thursday. Cowboys are 6.5 against the Giants. Check that, 4.5. A lot of money on the Giants. Feeling good about the Giants or just feeling even worse about your Cowboys?
I love the Cowboys. I think it's not because of that. I just think it's going to be a knee-jerk reaction where they're going into New York, and I think it's somewhat of the same thing that we're seeing with all these upset wins and then the big letdown the next week, a la the Las Vegas Raiders. You know, I don't think Dallas is as bad as what we're seeing. I mean, they sort of got crapped on the last 2 weeks. I get it. But if they can't get up for the Giants on a short week and turn things around, but I just think the Giants are going to come home a little hungover.
Can you bet these games? Do you feel like speculating, or you just got to wait to see what the sitch is? Packers 2.5 against the Vikings. Jordan Love in or out?
We don't know.
Do you have enough confidence in Willis where you're like, yeah, I'll lay the 2.5 and also say, you know what, I don't believe in Sam Darnold?
I'm not delaying here. I'm pulling up the lines with you. So Green Bay at home laying 2.5.
Yep.
And it's moved from Minnesota 2.5 to the other side. I want to know whether that's public money or sharp money. I want to know how much. I got to talk to my resources.
Chiefs at Chargers 7. We don't know about Herbert, and we don't know. Well, we pretty much know about Joe Alt, their rookie at right tackle, is going to be down for a while.
Yeah, and I don't know if I want to lay that many points until I see a full blown 60-minute effort from the Kansas City Chiefs. They did win in cover last night. I liked them minus a small number in Atlanta, but at the same token, second straight road game, division opponent. They're going to leave everything on the field, the Chargers, that is. So, yeah, we don't know about Herbert, but I don't know about laying 8 points on the road with the Chiefs.
Ion Sports Gambling is brought to you by Oasis Bar and Grill on Decatur, just south of Trop. We'll give you the dinner special in a couple of minutes. College football look ahead. You want a few?
Yeah, I'm going to give you one more NFL, though, that you didn't
Please.
Throw at me that I do like.
Okay.
The Saints will bounce back. The first 2 weeks with that those offenses is one thing, and I don't think it was – I think they definitely played above and above what a lot of people, including themselves, expected. But they also played the Philadelphia Eagles, which is supposed to be – you know, they're supposed to be an NFC East contender, if not the favorite. And that defense came in. And quite frankly, I like that game over. I was dead wrong on that one. It was like a secondary total. But my top one was Chargers-Steelers under. Didn't expect to see either defense step up. I figured it might be a little bit of a shootout. I think New Orleans answers the bell, goes into Atlanta, and rolls that team.
You were asking me during the break, UNLV in Fresno is 2.5 UNLV at home favorite.
Oh, I'm laying it. There's no doubt. I'm not.
Let me get it correct. 3.5. Now it changes it.
Yeah, I'm not. No, it doesn't.
It doesn't for you?
No.
Really?
Yeah, they're gonna steamroll that team.
Is that right?
I think so. Okay. I mean, I have it. I had something up. So Fresno opens the season at Michigan, loses by 20. Then they get well against Sacramento State. They go on to win two more. They beat New Mexico State and New Mexico. So New Mexico State in Fresno can't put any points up. But Sacramento State threw a 30 spot on the Bulldogs in Fresno. They go to New Mexico, to Albuquerque, and they beat the Lobos 38-21. I don't know, passing yards, they're in the bottom tier. They're allowing 300. They're mediocre, you know, average defense, right in the middle of the pack, 340 yards per game. They're coming to Las Vegas, where the Rebels are coming off of a bye week. And, you know, the questions asked about and the players saying, yeah, we're well aware of the skid that we're against. So I think the UNLV wins big.
Ion Sports Gambling brought to you by Oasis Bar and Grill on Decatur, south of Trop. Great local bar. And we actually hang out there. I hang out every place that we really pitch. But we hang out there. It's one of our favorite local bars. You need food for football viewing days? Get your takeout at Oasis Bar and Grill. They've got a new offer. You buy an entree, Willie, you got to see the friggin' cheesecake over there. Holy cow. You buy an entree, you get a free dessert. Monday special during the game. Tonight, $1 hot dogs, $1 tacos, $1 pizza slices, $1 wings. Follow them on IG at Oasis Bar and Grill. And reminder, we're there tomorrow. But we've got a lot more coming here. At the front yard, R.J. Clifford is on the way from the Autumn Windbags.